For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for kicking off your week with us. This is your Monday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You guys can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. Make sure you guys are following EthosFantasyBB ahead of the season getting started in a couple days. We are going to have a blurb feed. We are going to have our articles, podcasts, polls, everything posted out from that account. So make sure you guys are following over there, Ethos Fantasy BB, and checking out everything in our fantastic draft guide. There's a link in the description. You can also check it out on our website at sportsethos.com. If you hover over the MLB tab, you get my rankings, you get projections, you get 25 plus articles breaking down everything you need to know for this season. And I think the piece de resistance is our ATC projection powered draft tracker. In real time, you load up your picks as the draft is taking place, and it compares you to the rest of the league categorically. If you are really ahead of the pack in home runs, you'll be color-coded dark green in home runs, and you can say, okay, maybe I need to take a step back from power, focus on some other things. That's just one example. It will compare all of your categories in real time. It's a very cool feature I've been using in my drafts, so make sure you guys are checking out the link in the description and checking all of that out. But today we're going to be doing our last mock draft of the year, and tonight I have my home league draft as well. So this is the last day of drafting for me until I don't even know when. I did a couple of like midway drafts last year, but this might be my last draft for about 6 months that you guys will see on stream anyway. It is a mock draft, but this is going to be the final one, and you're going to be getting more and more of me giving away some of my hints here as we get closer to draft season, more of the players that I'm very interested in drafting. I won't be holding them as close to the chest anymore because, well, the season's going to be starting in a couple days, and there's no point anymore, but we are going to be doing this mock draft. It's a 12-teamer. We're using Yahoo settings, as we typically do here. I'm going to be picking from the middle. I think that's generally where I like to be going in these mock drafts and drafts in general. I don't love the turn. I like to be always staying as focused as possible, and I think sometimes when you are on the turn, whether you're picking at the beginning or the end of the draft, you end up having 15, 20, 25 picks between your selections, depending on the league size. And I just like to be in the middle, so I'm always a little bit more in tune with what's going on. You can kind of get distracted and zone out if you go 25 players between picks. But we're going to be doing standard 5x5, 12-team Yahoo with your regular settings for rosters. This is very standard Yahoo-style 12-teamer, nothing too crazy. And we're going to stop wasting time and get it kicked off right away here. Fantasy Pros is where I do pretty much all of my mock drafts. It's a very good system. I think it's better than the Yahoos and the ESPNs of the world on their actual sites, just because you can customize things. You can draft against the expert consensus rankings as opposed to just random people who may or may not be paying attention, who may be coming in and out of the draft room. So this is where we've been doing our mock drafts, and we're going to conclude with it as well. So pretty chalky start here. Ronald Acuna at 1, Bobby Witt at 2, Julio 3, Mookie Betts at 4, Corbin Carroll at 5, and then I'm up at 6. I'm going to take Kyle Tucker. He's been a pretty big target of mine in this range this year. I've seen people rank him as high as number 2, number 3. You're getting a potential 30-30 bat in a great lineup who's going to be batting higher in that lineup now. Dusty Baker is no longer in town, and there's going to be no more nonsense with Kyle Tucker batting 6th or 7th. He should be 3rd or 4th in that lineup, so 100 runs, 100 RBIs. 30 homers and 30 stolen bases is very, very much in the cards. And you're also looking at an excellent batting average asset in Kyle Tucker. So very happily here, locking him down in the middle of the first. I think that once you get to this stage, like he's viewed as lesser than Bobby Witt and Julio Rodriguez this year. In reality, I don't think there's that much of a difference, though. After Kyle Tucker, it goes to Spencer Strider, Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Fernando Tatis Jr. to wrap up the first. Beginning of the second, Shohei Ohtani. We still haven't seen Shohei Ohtani really fall down draft boards a ton after the whole news about his interpreter with the stolen money and the gambling and whatever the real story is. We haven't really seen him fall down boards too much. He still goes at the first pick of the second round here. Kyle Schwarber goes, I don't know what the hell is going on with Kyle Schwarber going this high up. That's a weird one. But after him, it's Trey Turner, Jose Ramirez, Yordan Alvarez, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I didn't set it for OBP. It's just a standard batting average league. If this was an OBP league, that would kind of make sense in this range for Schwarber. But that's a little bit crazy considering it's a batting average format here. So at this point in the draft, you don't usually still see Bryce Harper sitting around. I really like Bryce Harper. I think I'm going to probably take him here. Pitching gets pushed up this time of year, but in a 12-teamer, I think you can kind of wait a little bit. Like, I'm debating Corbin Burns, and Wheeler didn't go yet, did he? No, Zach Wheeler did not go yet. So you kind of have those debates in this point that you want to lock down that ace, but there's so much strong pitching throughout the, you know, round 3 to round 10 type of range. I don't think I need it. I think Bryce Harper is pretty clearly the best player on the board here. As far as I see it, you could make the argument for Austin Riley potentially, but let's lock in Bryce Harper. Not something I've been typically seeing him get back to number 19 overall, but I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it here if he is still sitting there at that price. Now, after I take Bryce Harper, it goes to Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, Rafael Devers, Zach Wheeler, and Marcus Semien. Kicking off the third round, CJ Abrams. He's been the most overvalued player all draft season. I've been saying it since October. I don't understand this high price for somebody who's pretty much just a stolen base guy. He's a fancy Esteri Ruiz who's going 100 picks earlier. Corbin Burns at 302, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at 305. I still think I can go for another position player here. Again, the more shallow nature of the format. And Michael Harris is somebody that I think is very, very interesting. We haven't even seen him fully reach his peak over these last couple of seasons. I don't think he's somebody where I think you could probably expect him to move up a little bit in the batting order. I'm not sure he'll be a top of the order bat, likely won't, but somewhere in the middle as opposed to the bottom. He's a 20-20 bat, at least good batting average. Those counting stats are very secure in that lineup. So let's go one more position player here and take Michael Harris in the middle of round 3, 30th overall. Really like that value. You know, I was kind of not as in on him earlier in draft season, but the more that I have done, I'm very interested in Michael Harris as a third-round pick. Pablo Lopez goes at 307, Luis Robert, Corey Seager, Ellie De La Cruz, Kevin Gausman, and Luis Castillo wrapping up the third. Into the fourth, it's Bo Bichette, George Kirby, Gunnar Henderson, Randy Arozarena, Jose Altuve, and Framber Valdez. I am up here at the beginning of the fourth round. Again, I probably should start taking a look at pitching, but there's still so many great options on the board. I don't really feel the need to yet. I kind of want to take Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal has looked just so incredible in spring. Maybe I'll see if I can get him another round later. He's likely not going to be there when I'm up again. Is he going to be there? Probably not. But if he's not, then that's okay. There are still so many great pitching options. So I won't take Tarik Skubal there. So right now I have one infielder at first base in Bryce Harper and two outfielders.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe I'll take a closer. Let me just take a look at who's on the board here. I don't really need to. They're going lower in these type of drafts than they have been in my typical drafts this year. Usually going in the 30s and 40s, but all of the closers are still available. So maybe there's no need to push them up necessarily. Maybe I will just take Tarik Skubal and just say to hell with it. I'll lock down my ace. I think they're not going to like the pick so much. No, they don't mind it. It's right in line with kind of with the ECR. He's not their top suggestion at that point, but I think Tarik Skubal is a lot safer to go along with the upside than some of these guys. Gallen, Glasnow, Nola all have their risks. Even the guy still on the board, Max Fried, has his risks. Blake Snell, like, there's risks with everybody. Skubal, I think, is looking pretty safe, especially the way that he has performed so far in spring. He's looked absolutely dominant. I really like Skubal. I've come around on him a lot this offseason. Adelis Garcia at 408, followed by Zach Gallen, Tyler Glasnow, Aaron Nola, and Cody Bellinger. Starting off the fifth round, Gerrit Cole, I think this is just a product of people having not fully adjusted their rankings to this point, because Gerrit Cole, there's no reason why he should be going in the fifth round. Logan Webb, Manny Machado, Edwin Diaz, and Mike Trout puts me back up at 506. I might just take a closer here and lock in my one guy, my first guy, and that would be Josh Hader. I think at this point, with all the closer injuries, it's really important. I mean, we don't know who's going to be healthy tomorrow, who's going to be healthy the week after. It's very volatile which pitchers are going to stay healthy, but I think locking in one of those guys that we know is healthy with a role right now is pretty important, considering we've lost Williams and Duran and possibly Kenley Jansen as well from the player pool for the time being. It's not been a great couple weeks for closers, so I lock in Josh Hader at 506. Nolan Jones, Jazz Chisholm, Royce Lewis, Adley Rutschman, Zach Eflin, and Max Fried wrap up the fifth round. Paul Goldschmidt, Freddie Peralta, Emmanuel Clase, Matt McClain, Christian Yelich, and Nico Horner go in the sixth round. I wonder if my favorite shortstop is still here, and he is. O'Neill Cruz is still sitting around. This one was kind of a big win for our subscribers this year. I had O'Neill Cruz ranked in the 30s for the time when my rankings first came out. His ADP was still in the 70s and the 80s. Now he's pushed up. His ADP is generally in the 40s for a lot of drafts, and I even saw him go at the 1-2 turn in a live stream the other night. So he is definitely going up draft boards. He's not going to be available for much longer. In fact, I'm shocked he's still available here at 67. So let's lock in O'Neill Cruz. Definitely one of my favorite players, one of my more rostered players this season. Definitely somebody you want to be investing in, especially if you can still get him in the sixth round. So after I go with O'Neill Cruz, it goes Logan Gilbert, Juan Duran. Again, that's a really risky one at this price point still. Not going to be taking him there if he's still sitting there. I know it's tempting. You think maybe he comes back in a few weeks. Maybe the oblique isn't so bad, but it is a very risky pick nonetheless. Grayson Rodriguez, JT Realmuto, and Spencer Steer wrap up the sixth round. Seventh round, Josh Lowe, Blake Snell, Ha-Seong Kim, Camilo Doval, and Cole Reagan. So my roster currently right now, I got Bryce Harper, O'Neill Cruz, Kyle Tucker, and Michael Harris as my position players, as my batters. And then I have Tarik Skubal as my ace and Josh Hader as my reliever, my first closer. Now is a time when I think we can start hammering some starting pitching. There's a lot of pitchers I really like in this range, a lot of high upside arms. Bobby Miller is the top of the list. I'm shocked that he's still here at this point, but we'll lock him in as my second starting pitcher. There is some risk with my Tarik Skubal, Bobby Miller combo. There's not a huge track record there between them, and that's something that I really do put a lot of stock into. But there's something to be said about the talent level, especially with Miller being in such a great team context where they are dealing with, you know, one of the things with Miller is, well, he's not going to get that many innings. There's going to be a limit cap, innings cap on his limits, or an inning limit on his inning cap. Jesus, I'm not enunciating properly there. But the fact that Yamamoto is in his first year of the contract, the fact that Buehler is behind, the fact that Glasnow is going to need to be babied a little bit. They have no Otani pitching this year. They're not going to be able to baby Bobby Miller as much as I think people are expecting. So 150, 160 innings should very easily be in the cards for him. I really like him at this price at 706. Alex Bregman, Raisel Iglesias, Tristan Casas, Brian Reynolds, Gleyber Torres, and William Contreras wrap up the seventh round. Andrés Muñoz, Joe Musgrove, Christian Walker, Justin Steele, Joe Ryan, and Andrés Giménez get us going in round eight. I really like what I've done with this team so far. It's one of my favorite mock drafts that I've actually done. I really like what we have going on. I think at this point I can probably, well, I could go for another starting pitcher. This is the point of the draft where it's really up to you, because I mean, especially if you have a fairly balanced team build, I have a good base of power and batting average. I've got a couple of ace level pitchers, should be ace level pitchers. I have a great closer. Usually I kind of like to lock down a second closer at this point. I don't love the guys in this range, but then again, like, they're just going to keep getting progressively shittier. If I don't like the guys in this range, I'm probably not going to like it as I keep going. Now, there are still some nice names, and I probably don't need to be jumping on this group. It's a little bit of a risky group, so let's wait on that second closer for now. I think I may lock in Dylan Cease here. Big Dylan Cease guy this year, especially since the trade. I've gone back and forth, right? Like, he is risky. That whip could potentially be not great, but the strikeouts are going to be there. The park is better. The team context is a lot better. I think that it's an overall pretty big improvement going to San Diego. So as the SP3, Lizardo I like as well, but I think it's pretty close between them. Cease is a more secure source of strikeouts. I'll go with Dylan Cease, but I think either one of those guys, you'd be pretty confident getting in round eight of a 12-teamer. I don't have any problem there. So after I go with Dylan Cease, it goes right to Jesus Luzardo with the pick after. Jordan Romano, Xander Bogaerts, Nick Castellanos, and Bryson Stott rounding out the eighth. And then we have Devin Williams to kick off the ninth. That's too early for Devin Williams, in my opinion. In an IL league, I kind of understand it, but we might be looking at 3+ months without him. So he's a very risky investment. Will Smith, Nolan Arenado, Yuri Perez, and Alexis Diaz. Yuri Perez, we got some good news, but they're not going to be sending him for surgery, but it could happen at any moment with Yuri Perez. He could literally hear tomorrow, like, oh, it's not going well. Like, they've changed their mind. It looks like surgery. Like, that could happen at any point. So he's a very, very risky draft pick. I'm going to lock in my second closer here, and I'm going to go with Evan Phillips, somebody where I had some concerns earlier in the offseason about they were going to bring in Kenley Jansen or they're going to sign Hader or something. But he's the secure closer for the best team in baseball. I think getting him as your second closer past pick 100 is a huge win. So we'll lock him in there. There's a couple guys that I like, but I don't want to be playing chicken with closers. Like I hate, especially in leagues where you have to spend money for a free agent budget, FAB as is usually referred to. I hate having to put a lot of that money down on closers. I forget who said it. Somebody said it recently. You're paying one way or the other for saves, whether it's at the draft table or through your free agent budget. I'd rather pay at the draft table, and especially with a ninth round pick of Evan Phillips there to lock in my second closer. I don't think that that's too egregious. I'm not paying third, fourth, fifth round prices for these guys. I think it's a pretty good price for my second closer. Teoscar Hernandez, Paul Sewald, Lane Thomas, David Bednar, Anthony Santander, and Josh Young finish out round 9. Round 10, we got Pete Fairbanks, Ketel Marte, George Springer, Yiner Diaz, Evan Carter, and Luis Arraez. At this point, I've constructed the team the way I typically do. I still need a couple of infielders. I have been generally waiting on second, but I haven't been waiting on third base as much as I am in this draft typically. And I'm at the point now where third base is kind of not that deep anymore, and I should probably get on it. This is not something that I want. Like, this is a mistake. This is me making a mistake. I should have had a third baseman at this point. And this is generally why I like to have one of those cornerstones, one of the Ramirez, the Riley, the Devers, a Machado, a Bregman, an Arenado. Machado's a little expensive, but that's generally the idea, because I don't want to be dealing with these guys who could have a good season. They might not. Like, there's not a lot of security that you have in these players. There's a lot of warts all over the place. Max Muncy with a bad batting average. Jake Berger's coming off a career year, but he's not in a great lineup. It's kind of a risk. He's home runs, but not a lot else. I could go through every single player here and go through a bunch of risks. So essentially, I'm stupid for not taking a third baseman at this point, but I think instead of forcing it now and saying, well, I'm gonna reach somebody now, I'll just wait, right? It's a 12-team league. There's already 12 gone. I'm assuming most teams at this point have their starting third baseman. I don't need to be pushing. I can just kind of wait and take a Jorge Polanco, a McMahon, a Matt Chapman, a Candelario, somebody a little bit later. So for right now, I don't feel the need to be pushing those guys up pretty much at all. Catcher is another one. I've talked about this a lot. If you guys have been watching my mock drafts or drafts or any videos I do, if you're playing in a one catcher league, wait till the last round, maybe the second last round, but no need to push those guys up. I think at this point, it's just keep getting starting pitching, because everything else, I have a targeted second base I can wait a couple rounds on. I need one more outfielder, utilities, whatever. I think it's starting pitching. And I think, let me just take a look and see that I'm not missing out on any of these targets here.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's see. No, I think that honestly the best way to go at this point for me is probably Chris Bassitt, because the guys that I have so far are a little, like, I was going to go Chris Sale, but that'd be really leaning into the upside. And we actually did one of those last week. If you want to check it out on our YouTube, it's also in the podcast feed. I did like my all upside team, the Ricky Bobby team. Chris Sale was on that because he's the type of guy, literally, if you're not going to be first, you're going to be last with him. But to take him after already having Scooble, Miller, and Cease, where, a lot of upside, but also the floor could really bottom out there. I'm going to take Chris Bassitt just because the upside isn't necessarily that high, but the floor is incredibly high with Chris Bassitt. 180 innings or so should be in the books for him, assuming he's healthy. decent team context. He's somebody where every year you look at what he does. It's a sub-4 ERA. It's a good whip. He gets the strikeouts based on the volume. So let's take Chris Bassitt here in round 10 as kind of a stabilizer for the rotation. I think that he makes a lot of sense here in a lot of builds. I think Chris Bassitt makes sense in most builds, really, just to kind of secure those middle round innings where a lot of people are going to take a chance, whether it's Cole Reagans, whether it's a Tarik Skubal, a Bobby Miller, Grayson Rodriguez, guys where we have high hopes, but we don't really know exactly what they're going to give us. It's good to balance that out with somebody like a Bassitt, like a Barrios, like a Merrill Kelly, those innings eaters where you do have a little bit of stability in there mixed in with your upside. So after I take, the whole thing is just, I don't know why it was down there, but after I take Chris Bassitt, it goes Vinny Pasquantino, Seiya Suzuki, Michael King, Spencer Torkelson, and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Isak Paredes goes to the beginning of the 11th round. That's really early for me. Tanner Bibee, Shane Bieber, Jordan Walker, and then Dansby Swanson puts me up in the 11th round. Getting to the point where I want to take my second base target. Probably don't need to yet. I can probably go one more round. Let's see who we have available on the whole board here. There's a couple of really nice players. Honestly, Ryan Helsley is kind of tempting. I think I am going to take Ryan Helsley. Just a third closer is not necessarily required in a 12-team league, in a head-to-head league. But at the same time, like I've made this point a few times, like last year I went really heavy in my home league on relievers. I had Fairbanks, I had Hader, I had Romano, I had like four relievers. There were still weeks where I lost saves because they're very volatile. And honestly, those high-end relievers are almost as good as a starter in a given head-to-head week. You're getting like three innings out of them, six, seven strikeouts, usually no runs allowed, potential for a win, potential for a save, versus like streaming a starting pitcher. You know, it depends on which pitcher you're talking about, but generally speaking, you're going to be more secure in those saves on a week-to-week basis because they are very volatile. You might have Josh Hader get four saves 1 week, and then he could go 2 weeks without a save. That's just the nature of the beast. So having a third one, I think, is kind of important. It's not necessary, but I do like to use that in a head-to-head league. Not as important in Roto where, you know, if it's 5-1 week and zero the next week, it doesn't matter. But head-to-head, I do like to have a little bit more security there. So let's lock in Ryan Helsley as our third reliever, and then we're done. We don't need to take any more relievers. We don't need to worry about it anymore. But we do have the position pretty damn locked down at this point. After Helsley, it goes to Chris Sale, Clay Holmes, Bailey Ober, Yandy Diaz, Cal Raleigh, and then Wyatt Langford. I got my first Wyatt Langford share yesterday. Very excited about what we could see from him. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to pan out, but he looks pretty damn can't miss at this point. I drafted him 84th overall. Pushed him up a little bit potentially, but that's one of those fear of missing out type of picks. I wanted a Langford share and I got one. Cedric Mullins kicks off round 12, followed by Sal Perez, Sonny Gray, Marcelo Zuna, Anthony Volpe, and Hunter Green. We're back up here. Just to recap what's going on in my roster, I'm still in need of a catcher. I still need a second baseman. I still need a third baseman. I need one more outfielder and a couple utilities, and the pitching is essentially taken care of. I just have one more starting pitching spot, and the way that I've done these mock drafts is I'm not drafting the bench. I'm just drafting the starting lineup, so pitching is pretty much done. We are just strictly focusing, not strictly, but pretty much just focusing on our position players at this point. So let's put a couple targets in the queue. Josh Naylor is certainly a target, even though he would come at a utility spot. You're getting five category production from a first base guy. I think it's pretty understandable why I'm interested in Josh Naylor. I've been talking about him all offseason. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, first base previews, reviews, all of that stuff, I've talked about Josh Naylor ad nauseum at this point. Definitely a big target of mine. Tyro Estrada, also a huge target. I'm probably not going to take him in this round, probably the next round. The ADP and the ECR suggest that I can probably wait around, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Third base, is my third base target still here? Or has he been taken? Let's just double check and see. Jorge Polanco is still there. Yeah, there's a few third base targets, so we can still wait on third a little bit. Should I just take Tyro, or maybe I'll wait one round on Tyro? What outfielders are here? No real interesting outfielders necessarily. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Josh Naylor because he's fallen behind ADP, and he's fallen behind the expert consensus ranking by close to 25 picks now. He'll be a utility spot, but that's fine considering that he is a very well-rounded fantasy player. I'm getting a bit of everything. He is a suggested pick, and like I mentioned, he did fall well beyond where he should be going. So happy to take him there, even in a utility spot. I've mentioned this a few times. I don't care this year so much if you are a utility guy, if you are a middle infield, second base, wherever you are in the lineup, it all counts the same, right? You don't want to take four second basemen one after the other. But if you're having to stick somebody in the utility, in a middle infield, in a corner infield, you don't get any more points for starting them in second base position versus the middle infield spot. So if it fits your team, you have Altuve, but you want Bryson Stott or whatever, go ahead and do it. I am not going to give you any grief for that. So after Naylor goes at 12:07, it goes Zach Geloff, Tanner Scott, Riley Green, Alec Bohm, and Justin Verlander. Mitch Keller kicks off the 13th, followed by Jackson Churio, Ian Happ, Cabrian Hayes, and Esteury Ruiz. Now we take our guy, Tyro Estrada. He's sitting at the top here of the suggestions. He will not be here next time. Likely, by the time it comes back to me, he won't be there. I've talked about him. He's one of my most rostered players. I've made no secret that I really love Tyro this year. Multi-eligible guy. More stolen bases should be coming. I think the upside is a 2030 season with a 275 batting average, 80 runs and 80 RBIs type of thing. Love me some Tyro. Very happy to slot him into my second base spot. It's been hard to find a team of mine where I don't have Tyro Estrada. He's just all over the place for me this year. After I take him at 13:06, it goes to Nate Lowe, Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, Merrill Kelly, MJ Melendez, and Ryan Pepio. Kicking off the 14th, Hunter Brown, Nolan Gorman, Adbert Alzale. Oh, man, I got this crap on my computer. I have a virus popped up on my computer, so that's always fun. Eduardo Rodriguez, Francisco Alvarez, Christopher Morel at 14:06, and then I'm up at 14:07. I'm going to have to figure that shit out with my computer because that is not what I want to see popping up on the screen. But we are at the point now where we just have a few picks left. Catcher, third base, outfield, utility, pitcher. Those are the spots that I still need to fill. Let's see who is still available at each of those positions. So catcher, like I've mentioned, I can wait. No need to worry. The third base targets are all still there. So I think it's outfield slash best player available for me at this point. The best outfielder on the board, I think, in my opinion, is probably Chaz McCormick, another 2020 potential guy. He outperformed his expected stats last year. But I think in the middle of that lineup, you're still pretty easily looking at 20 homers, 20 stolen bases, or maybe it's like 18 and 22, 21 and 17 or something along those lines of a rough 2020 season. I think the batting average will still be pretty decent, 250, 260 type of range at least. And I think I'm locking down pretty much everything with him. I'm really targeting guys this year who don't hurt you anywhere. And Chaz McCormick is not somebody who's going to hurt you anywhere. I know it sounds really obvious. It sounds kind of stupid. Like, of course you don't want guys who are going to hurt you. But, like, you take an Esteury Ruiz, you take a Luis Arraez. These guys are going to actively hurt you just because they're helping you in one category. Like, they almost mitigate all that good just because they're hurting you in all the other categories. So I want balance is the long and short of it. I want balance, and Chaz McCormick gives me that. Sean Murphy, Jorge Soler, Yu Darvish, Max Muncy, and Kyle Bradish to wrap up the 14th. Kicking off round 15, it's Braxton Garrett, Jaron Duran, Wilson Contreras, TJ Friedl, and Carlos Rodon. Oh, man, I kind of wanted Carlos Rodon. He's a tricky one. If he was still sitting there in a couple rounds, I might have made him my last pick. He is a very polarizing player, and I honestly don't really even know what to make of him at this point. So let's just see who is left to us. We have another one of those guys that I mentioned earlier is a real stabilizer of rotations, and that's Jose Berríos. He might be the guy that I take here, honestly, because I did mention like there is some risk with Scooble, with Miller, with Cease. I think that taking Jose Berríos really does kind of stabilize that from a volume standpoint and also in terms of a ratio standpoint. Let's do it. Let's take Jose Berríos and finish up the rotation there. And they're calling it a value pick. I think that they're probably going to really like this draft, Fantasy Pros. I've been getting some Bs and B minuses. So this one, hopefully, will get back up into the A. Hopefully, they will like what we've done here. I think they will. Willy Adames goes at 15:07 after I take Berríos, followed by Brian Wu, Alex Lang, Kodai Senga, Shota Imanaga, and then Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery is still not signed. 3 days out from the season starting. I really feel bad for the guy. It really does not make any sense to me. But he should probably signed somewhere soon, you'd hope. Jose Alvarado goes at the beginning of round 16, followed by Trevor Story, Walker Buehler, Ryan Pressly, Christian Javier, and Nick Pivetta. So I'm up here. Catcher, third base, and utility are all we have left. The third base is really deep in this kind of format, honestly. I know I said earlier, like, I want to lock down an early one, but I think that's more my 15-team brain mindset. When you're playing in a 10 or a 12-team league, you can wait. Like, they're not going to be amazing options, but I'm going to take Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman is somebody that should be a 25 home run, 80 RBI bat. You know, like, there's no reason he should have been going as late as he has been a lot of draft season. This is earlier than he is generally going if you look at, like, NFBC leagues. maybe I can wait around, honestly. Maybe I can fill in that utility spot and then take a Chapman. Like, either way, like, if he's still out there in the next round, there's still other options. But Chapman has been, and honestly, he should be. Like, the ADP is still a little bit of ways away. He should still be sitting there. The value is really good getting Matt Chapman at this price. Let me see the catchers that are still sitting there. I really like Logan Ohapi. I really like Moreno. In terms of the utility guys, I can go for Nimmo is another pretty balanced guy. Maybe I'll go for Brandon Nimmo. He's leading off in front of Lindor and Alonso, and now JD Martinez, it looks like. Beatty looks good. Alvarez, like, this whole lineup all of a sudden looks pretty damn good with Nimmo at the top. A couple of really good, healthy years in a row. So, honestly, I'll take him as my utility spot, and then I've kind of just waited on catcher and third base, and we'll just see who comes back to me at the end of the day here. After I take Nimmo, it goes Bryce Miller, Kiber Ruiz, Brandon Pfaadt, Edward Julian, and Tristan McKenzie. 17th round, Jose Leclerc, Robert Suarez, Nathan Eovaldi, Aaron Civale, and Gavin Williams. Third base, I still have my guys. I'll take Chapman here. Why not? They might call it a reach, but no, they didn't even call it a reach. That's fine. And then all I have left is catcher in the last round. So after I do take Matt Chapman, again, these damn pop-ups on my screen, but I go Chapman, it goes Cutter Crawford, Jake Berger, Brian Bayo, Justin Turner, Jason Adam, and James Outman. Brandon Lau kicks off the 18th, followed by AJ Minter, Charlie Morton, Taj Bradley, Kyle Harrison, and Gabriel Moreno, who was potentially going to be one of my targets, but that's okay. We'll go with Logan Ohapi, who is also a pretty big target of mine as well. And they only gave me a B again. These bastards only gave me a B, but that's okay. We'll still take it. I think we built a very balanced team that's going to be competitive in every single category. We have a lot of power. We have a lot of speed. We have good lineups throughout. We have a couple of real solid anchors that are aces of their respective staffs. We have three excellent closers. So let's recap this one more time before I let you guys go. It's Logan Ohapi behind the dish. The infield is Bryce Harper, Tyro Estrada, O'Neill Cruz, and Matt Chapman. I don't know if I've done a draft this year in a mock draft where I didn't get Tyro Estrada. I just have them everywhere. Mocks, reels, all over the place. The outfield is Kyle Tucker, Michael Harris, and Chaz McCormick. The utility spots, Josh Naylor and Brandon Nimmo. Starting pitchers are Tarik Skubal, Bobby Miller, Dylan Cease, Chris Bassett, and then Jose Berríos. Did I not take Jose Berríos? No, maybe I didn't take Jose Berríos, but my brain is out to lunch at this point. That's okay. The season's about to start soon. We won't have to worry about that anymore. My relief pitchers are Josh Hader, Evan Phillips, and Ryan Helsley. That's it. That's the last mock draft of the season. That's it, guys. I'm going to miss them. I've liked doing these mock drafts. They've been a lot of fun. They've helped me get ready for the season, just generally seeing who's around at which picks. It's not going to be perfect, but that's why you do a bunch of them. You plan out your targets, your fades. Never just narrow it down to one person. Never say, in this round, I got to have this guy. You always have to have two, three, four, maybe even five or six options in each round. So that's why we go through these, just to walk you guys through the options generally in each round. But I hope you guys enjoyed. If you're watching on the YouTube side, hit that subscribe button, hit the like, comment, do all that great stuff to help out the algorithm. Same on the podcast. If you're listening on the podcast side, subscribe, rate, review, do all that great stuff. And we'll be back again tomorrow talking bold predictions. Wednesday, we're going to be talking about my guys, most rostered players on my teams and my favorite players for this season. We'll probably hear from some Tyro Estrada talk there as well. And then Thursday, it's opening day. It's finally here. Only a couple more sleeps, but we'll leave you at that, guys. Until then, reach out with any questions or anything on Twitter at JoeOrico99, and go ahead and follow Ethos Fantasy BB for all new updates. Check out the draft guide in the description of the episode, but I'll leave it at that, guys. Take care and have a great night.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.